This is Stephen Strang. Before my podcast, I want to give my listeners a special offer of getting 2 years of Charisma Magazine for only $20. This is better than two for one. I hope you want Charisma in your home, where you can read it, where you can share, where you can keep it around the house and sometimes look at an article later. You know, with everything that's happening with digital, we have found that people still want Charisma in print. And I've been sharing this in my last few podcasts, and it's interesting that the subscriptions are coming in, and I hope that you'll take advantage of this offer by going to charismamag.com/2, T-W-O. That means 2 years for the price of one for only $20. And now here's my podcast.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
There was a plaque in my home when I was growing up. It said, "Prayer changes things." And I know that as a believer, you believe that, or at least hypothetically, we believe that. But do you know there's a rising consciousness within the body of Christ that prayer really does change things, and that we should focus our prayer? We usually call it intercession. And today my guest on the Strang Report is the president of Intercessors for America, Dave Kubel. We talked about a lot of things, but you will find the story that he tells about the role of intercession and how it pulled down the Berlin Wall. So listen to my interview with the president of Intercessors for America. Dave Kubel, you're the president and CEO of Intercessors for America, which is a very important ministry that I've known for many, many years. And the question I have for you is, what is the difference between prayer and intercession?
Well, you know, Steve, that's such a great question, and it's such a great opportunity to chat with you today and all of your listeners about such an important topic. You know, prayer, intercession, those words are kind of used interchangeably. And of course, you can develop different definitions. But prayer, I believe, is telling God what you want. And, you know, it's not bad to bring before the Lord your list of prayer needs and things that are upon your heart. And we certainly all do that. But intercession is a whole different level. And intercession is letting God tell us what he wants. And it begins, I believe, with reading scripture and understanding God's plans and purposes for our lives and for our family and our nation that we live in, and really listening to God to hear what his heart is to pray and to intercede in this particular moment in time in order to release his destiny for the nations. I've just been captured with a thought that he invites us to shape history with him. I mean, you know the scriptures as well as I, the Chronicle scriptures that says, if my people, and that's the invitation, if we pray, there's all sorts of scriptures, and Jeremiah and Ezekiel says, if we repent, God will relent. And so it's just fascinating to me, Steve, that history really belongs to the intercessor. And I think that that's something really important for listeners to remember and to realize that intercession is about listening to God to see what his heart is in these matters and releasing history through interacting with the Lord through intercession.
Well, over the years, Charisma Magazine, of course, has written many, many times on prayer, intercession, the importance of it. We've given people platforms to do this. I remember Derek Prince being the first one to connect me with Intercessors for America back in the mid-70s, but actually you started in 73. Why did this ministry start?
Well, actually, Derek Prince was at the genesis of this ministry. He wrote a book in 73, Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting, and part of his releasing this book to the nations was he was speaking at a conference, and he challenged those at this conference to form a ministry to pray and intercede for the nation. Now, this was all right after Roe v. Wade was an opinion that came out of our Supreme Court and legalized abortion on demand. And so the necessity to pray and intercede. You know, it's interesting, the founders of Intercessors for America, they believe that IFA would last maybe a couple, 3 years to pray through the bicentennial, is their original thought. And by then they would see Roe v. Wade overturned. So obviously we still continue to labor in that realm. And I believe that you and I, Steve, will see Roe v. Wade overturned very shortly, definitely in our lifetime for sure.
And help the listener who maybe wants to have a deeper prayer life know how to pray, maybe some resources. Recently, I had Mike Bickle on my podcast, and he's well known to my listeners and to the readers of Charisma Magazine. They have the International House of Prayer, where they have 24-hour prayer. Of course, a lot of that is sort of worship and, you know, what they call the harp and the bowl. What you do is very different. So how would people be involved in Intercessors for America? What resources do you have? How do you train people? How do you mobilize people all over the country?
Well, the best answer to that is you can go to our webpage and see all sorts of resources that we offer. We have a regular news feed that offers prayer requests. We have all sorts of special reports and intercessory intelligent reports to know how to pray for things. But more than anything, we're trying to fuel a community of intercessors that feel a part of belonging with a team of people that are shaping history. And, you know, we reach millions and millions of people on a monthly basis, and we just see people enjoy resonating as they pray together and as they communicate. So I'd really encourage people to go to our website. But, you know, more than anything, I believe that people need inspiration to really be motivated to pray on a regular basis. And, you know, one of the things that we're battling right now in America is a wave of socialism that's coming against our nation. And, I mean, we see it in the headlines almost every single day. And, you know, I really believe we can make a difference in intercession to fight this wave of socialism. You know, I recall the story of the Berlin Wall, and most of your listeners will probably remember that famous speech made by the great president, President Reagan, in 1987, when he said, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." Well, the wall actually didn't come down for two more years. And there's actually a story that indicates that prayer was the real reason the Berlin Wall came down, because 5 years before President Reagan ever went to Germany for that famous speech, 5 years before, a small prayer gathering began to meet on Monday nights. This reverend by the name of Reverend Fear, he gathered just a small handful of people to pray every Monday night, and they would gather 40 candles every Monday night and light them and pray for peace. And they saw their country as if it was wandering in the desert like the Israelites for 40 years. And so they lit those candles and prayed. And for many years, the government of Erich Honecker, who was the chairman of the Socialist Party there, he didn't know about it. And so he just let it slide. But slowly over time, spies infiltrated this growing prayer movement in the East Germany. And so they actually began to persecute some of the Christians that were part of this prayer movement. One time, Reverend Fear was thrown in the snow and left for dead. And some of the people would lose their jobs as a part of this prayer gathering. But they prayed and interceded for 5 years. And then President Reagan busts onto the scene and does his famous speech and calls out Gorbachev to tear down the wall. And I'm sure it had dramatic effect. But I think that the thing that got Reagan there was the prayers of these intercessors. And I can tell you that because it was 2 years after Reagan's famous speech that Pastor Fuhrer gathered his people on a Monday night, as he usually did. And this time he put candles in the hands of each one of the intercessors, and he instructed them to light the candle and then march. This prayer gathering was actually in the town of Leipzig, and they were instructed that particular evening to light the candles and march from the church where they were meeting to the center of the city. And somehow the word got out, and so Honecker, he put troops in the streets. He put tanks in the roads where they knew that the marchers would go. But at this point in time, the prayer gathering grew to a pretty good size. There were a couple of thousand, actually, who left the church on a peaceful march with nothing but prayers and candles, and they began to march down the streets. And, you know, they could have been killed. The soldiers could have fired upon them at any moment in time. But at this particular moment, 2 years after Reagan gave his famous speech, these marchers marched with prayer and candles down the center of Leipzig, and slowly, one by one, the soldiers put down their guns and began to pick up candles and march. And wouldn't you know it, within a month of this event, Erich Honecker resigned from his position and the wall began to come down. So most of us in America think that it was Reagan that actually brought down the Berlin Wall. But I can tell you that the history points to the fact that it was actually the intercessors who interceded and prayed for 7 years and then did one final prophetic act by going out into the city and to march for peace. It's the intercessors that shaped the history of Germany. And the history will forever be evident of this fact that intercession can affect history.
Boy, that's encouraging. You started telling the story talking about socialism being in the news here. Now, we are not a socialist nation. You know, Russia didn't come in and conquer us like it did East Germany and set up a puppet government and build a wall. But some of these things that seem just crazy end up happening. I mean, can you remember the first time that there was a gay pride march or something like that, or somebody started talking about same-sex marriage? It just seemed crazy. You know, growing up as a kid in a Christian home, I'd never heard of such a thing. I mean, but yet it is now a reality and it's come about in our lifetime. So what is it that Christians can do to, you know, I'm going to use kind of Christian terms, but most of the listeners are probably Christians, you know, where we can pull down strongholds, you know, engage in spiritual warfare. Or maybe I should ask, how does intercession interface with spiritual warfare? Because, you know, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers.
Yeah, well, you know, if you look at the situation and the governmental authorities that are in place and the problems that we face, they're just absolutely immense. And they're evidence of powers and principalities that are pulling the strings behind the scenes. I mean, Steve, you know, as we look at the news every day, it just seems as if there's an organized, concerted effort coming against Christians and coming against a Christian worldview in this day. And, you know, I think just like the story I just told, that we as Christians need to pray and we need to intercede on a regular basis in order to see things shift. You know, I failed to mention that Erich Honecker, when he described after the fall of the Berlin Wall, he said they were ready for everything, any armed attack, anything, but they were not ready for candles in prayer. And so I believe that through prayer and intercession, we can attack those powers and principalities and we can see significant change. You know, the ramp up in America to pray for life and to pray against legalized abortion, legalized murder on demand, has been absolutely incredible. I've been the president CEO of IFA for 10 years, and I can say in the last 5 years, I've just seen a passion and a quantity of prayer ramped up for the protection of life like I've never seen just in the last couple of years. And so, you know, once you know it, that as the enemy overplays his hand, as we pray that we would be protected from the powers and principalities of darkness and death coming through abortion in the U.S., we have seen the enemy overplay his hand like he did in New York, in that, you know, even born babies can be murdered up until the last trimester. And then what happened in Virginia, where the governor said that even after they're born. So what we have seen in America in less than a month, we have seen the attitude shift from pro-choice to pro-life. The movement has been 300 basis points in the latest polls. And so we're seeing the enemy overplay his hand through prayer and intercession for darkness to be exposed and for public opinion to shift in dramatic fashion. Now, we're also watching, of course, everybody knows the switch in the Supreme Court with the two new Supreme Court justices to hopefully, prayerfully, a more conservative interpretation of legal decisions so that we see Roe v. Wade overturned. And there likely will even be another Supreme Court justice in the next couple of years. So I believe that the fight for life is a perfect example in the United States of how we pray and intercede. It's been a long haul. We've been praying and interceding for this, but we're seeing dramatic shifts in the public opinions, and we're going to see dramatic shifts when decisions come out of the Supreme Court in the near future.
Let me ask you something about intercession and prayer again. And you explained it very well earlier, but some prayers are recited in church, you know, maybe even the Lord's Prayer or other prayers. A lot of people will recite a prayer at bedtime or over a meal. But when someone intercedes, what would they do? Would they go into a prayer closet? Would they get on their knees? Would they pray for 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours? Do they pray 5 minutes in the car on the way to work? You know, describe to me your view as head of Intercessors for America and being an intercessor yourself and knowing hundreds and thousands of intercessors. What really differentiates intercession?
Well, you know, I think that for some, intercession is a calling. And so I know some will get up at 3 or 4 in the morning and intercede for 2, 3, 4 hours before they get into their day. And then I know some people that will pray and intercede for a half hour. I know people who will pray and intercede for 5 minutes. I don't think it really matters the amount of time, but what matters is the obedience to the Lord. And so all of your listeners, all the people that will listen to this podcast today and for months to come, it's just important for you to ask, Lord, how would you want to use me in this arena of shaping history? How can your invitation to participate in this, how can I respond to that? It can be 5 minutes in the car as you're driving to work. You know, the basis of intercession for me, it begins in the scriptures. And so it's always good to start out with a scriptural promise and then ask the Lord how he would desire me to apply that to this particular situation. And as you listen, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. He will guide you, and he will direct you into how you can pray and intercede. But I think it's also important to connect with ministries like Intercessors for America to know what the Lord seems to be saying, because I say with great humility that we have a collective understanding of what the Lord is saying to the church, because we have so many people, so many intercessors, board members that speak into this ministry to help us guide and direct our prayer points. And not only that, but when you are with other intercessors, whether it's on prayer conference calls or simply by going online, like at our website, just to our prayer map where you can see intercessors that are around you, you're going to be encouraged, because intercession, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. And intercession is fueled by a community of inspired Christians who know the Word, who are encouraged by answered prayer, and who feed off of each other's energies and passions.
Well, that's exciting and very well said. I want to wrap this up by asking you if there is one thing that you would like for the body of Christ to really intercede for, specifically the listeners who maybe have been really stirred in their spirit. Maybe they've been, they've really been into intercession in the past, but perhaps the cares of life have come in and they said, we really want to focus. So is there one thing that all of us can really, really pray for, in your opinion?
Well, see, that's a great question and a tough one. And as you were asking the question, I just briefly asked the Lord, and he brought to my mind Isaiah 22, I believe it's chapter 6, that says that there is a rich storehouse of salvation, of wisdom, of revelation. And if there were ever a time where our government, our governmental leaders need a rich storehouse of salvation, of wisdom, of revelation, it's now. But the second half of that verse is what I believe is the prayer point. And it says this, but the keys to these treasures is the fear of the Lord. And I really believe that if we would pray And if God would hear our prayers and move mightily among our governmental leaders, that they would legislate, that they would communicate, that they would operate in the fear of the Lord, we would see dramatic things happen. There would be an awe and respect. There would be a sense of accountability that would bring our government back into order. So simply said in one sentence, Steve, to your great question is, I believe that we need to pray for the fear of the Lord to fall upon the government of the United States of America.
That's a great answer and a great thing for us to pray about. I want to thank you, Dave Kubel, for being with us and for sharing your heart and giving us a little insight into Intercessors for America. And I encourage you to check out their website and see how you can be involved and see some of the resources they have.
Thank you, Steve. Pleasure to be with you today.
I hope you enjoyed my podcast. You probably know that I turn it into a newsletter, which I also call the Strang Report, and we put it online. But many of my listeners don't subscribe to the newsletter. I have over 30,000 subscribers, and it's always going up. So I want to encourage you to subscribe so you get it delivered to your inbox along with the podcast. It makes it a very easy way to be able to get to it and to see each newsletter that I do and also to listen to each podcast. All you have to do is go to newsletter.strangreport.com. I'll repeat that, newsletter.strangreport.com. Of course, you can also download on iTunes and on Google Play. And when you do, if you just give us a 5-star rating, that along with the downloads increases our ranking, which means that we get more notoriety or something like that. My staff has been telling me that I should invite my faithful, loyal listeners to go on iTunes and Google Play and to sign up. In fact, you can subscribe to the podcast, which is a different way to receive it than through my newsletter. Also, I have a new hotline where you can leave a comment. It's 407-706-8476. We would love to hear your comments. In the future, we will actually play some of them, or if you pose questions, I'll be answering your questions. That number again is 407-706-8476. And you can also email me at podcast@charismamedia.com. Again, that's podcast@charismamedia.com. Thank you for listening today to the Strang Report. Until next time, God bless you. I'm Stephen Strang.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.